hope that's your testimony. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Amen. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And prayed about what to preach, I came back to this verse several times. And sometimes when, as a pastor, we preach a familiar passage, we sometimes question whether or not that's what the real Lord really wants. Because I know we're so familiar with this passage, or at least most of us are. And I think the choir special this morning, just another confirmation about the passage this morning. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 24. And let's begin reading at verse 22. And the Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Your Son, who came and lived a sinless life and died and was buried and rose again, that we might have eternal life. But I thank You this morning that's not where His work ended, but the Lord, that You have sent Your Son not only to give us life, but give us more abundant life. And I pray this morning that as we look here once again at our wonderful Savior, that You would enable us and help us to again see Him afresh and new. In Jesus' name, amen. John the Baptist had just been killed, and they went on an evangelistic campaign. They sought to get away from this great crowd that had assembled. Remember, they had just completed feeding the 5,000 with, five loaves and two fishes, and probably a multitude, probably 20,000 people total that they had fed. They had worked all day, and Jesus had taught this multitude, taught His disciples. And they were looking to, again, get away from there, and at least the disciples were, to get some rest, and they were tired. The disciples had been taught all day, but now in the evening tide they were to be not taught but tested. And can I tell you that a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And as we learn the Word of God, as we are taught the Word of God, we must learn to apply the Word of God. And I've said this so much, and I know some of our members may get tired of hearing it, but our education, in other words, our understanding of the Bible, far exceeds our application. And so many times God allows things to come into our life to test us, to test what we really believe. Because what we believe is really what we do. We can say we believe this or believe that, but our actions prove out whether we truly believe it or not. And so the disciples have been taught. They've been taught all day along with this great crowd, and now they were to be tested. Jesus constrained them to get into the ship. In other words, He thrust them. He put them in the ship to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And again, I always like to remind you, the Sea of Galilee was not what we think of as an ocean. It was a freshwater. It is a freshwater lake. It's smaller than Lake Texoma. Lake Texoma is a lake of about 90,000 acres, and the Sea of Galilee, this lake of Gennesaret, is a lake of about 60,000 acres. So it's smaller than Lake Texoma, which helps you get a perspective. It's a freshwater lake. And so they were leaving to go to the other side. They were traveling from Capernaum over to Bethesda and Bethsaida, and it was about 5 miles on by way of the lake to get over to the other side, on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. And remember, they were tired. Jesus had put them in the ship, told them to go to the other side. And it's always good to point out that Jesus put them in the ship. Therefore, they were in the will of God. I don't care what TV program you may watch that says that if you get saved, or if you're a Christian, or if you follow Jesus, that life is going to be a lot easier. Because my Bible does not say that. Are you listening? That TV evangelist on the TV may tell you that if you get saved and if you give your life to Jesus, that everything's going to be all right. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says completely the opposite. The Bible says, in this world, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. It never says that your life is going to be easy. What it does say, and what we're going to emphasize this morning, is that Christ will carry you and help you through those problems. He will carry you and help you in the storms. It never says you're not going to have storms in life. Listen now. In fact, I would tell you this morning that if you accept Christ and if you're a Christian this morning and you have launched out into the deep and you're trying to do right and you're trying to live right and you're trying to love Jesus more and grow closer to Him more, the devil hates that. If you're a new Christian here this morning and you've recently got saved, the devil hates that. The devil hates that you, not only that you got saved, but he hates that you want to be a better daddy. He hates that you want to be a better mama. He hates that you want to be a better husband and on, so forth and so on. He hates all those things. And the devil's going to do whatever he can do to discourage you. He's going to do whatever he can to defeat you. He's going to do everything he can to get you to back up on the Lord, right? I mean, the devil. The world is still there. The world is still there enticing us. You know, Pharaoh is still there, guys, isn't he? Pharaoh is still there trying to keep us in bondage. And the Mr. Goodbar still show up on the pulpit even though I've been on a diet for a year. And, listen, if you're trying to do right and you're trying to live right by way of the Holy Spirit's power, things are going to come your way. There's going to be some testing of what you've been taught. Don't give up. The children of Israel came out of Egypt. God wrought a great victory for them. And the 1 Corinthians tells us that they were baptized there in the Red Sea. 3 days into their journey, they came to the waters of Marah. They left Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. They had seen Jesus. They'd seen God, you know, kill all the Egyptian army. And yet, 3 days into their journey, they're thirsty. They're tired. And they come to water, and the waters are bitter. The bitter waters of Marah. And they began to complain. And they began to murmur against Moses. 3 days into their journey. Can I tell you, especially those of you who either are new Christians or have made commitments this year to do something for the Lord and to do something to live right and do right, that the children of Israel got discouraged 3 days into their journey. Be careful. Be careful. Don't let circumstances dictate your joy. Don't let circumstances dictate what you're going to do. Just keep on keeping on. Just keep on keeping on. The Lord will empower. The Lord will strengthen you, as we're going to see here this morning. But remind you, the world is still there. The world, the enticements of the world is still there. The devil's still there. And then thirdly, you got to deal with your own flesh. You got to deal with this flesh that wants things for itself. You know, there's got to deal with the flesh. We always like to blame Satan made me do it. Most of the time it's not Satan. Most of the time it's us. I have met the enemy and it's me. I'm telling you, I am my own worst enemy. And so are you. And so are you. So understand that when Jesus put them in the ship, that they were exactly where God intended for them to be. And just because you go through a storm, and just because something comes into your life unexpected, does not mean that you're out of the will of God. It simply means that God has put you there for a reason. God says God will work all things together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. God will work everything to your good, that He might conform us into the image of His Son. Everything that we experience in life, everything that we experience, the good times and the bad, are there to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian here this morning. They put in a long day. Jesus put them into the ship. They were tired. They were going to the other side there of the lake, and the Bible says a storm came up. There are three other accounts of this, four other accounts of this, and all of them put together really help you to understand what's going on. And there was a great storm. The Bible says that it put them into the midst of the lake, put them down into the lake. So they got blown off course. A trip that should have just taken a couple of hours, it was taking them a long time. And they were rowing for their life. I mean, they were just trying to survive. And they got pushed into the middle of the lake. It was dark. They were tired. But the Bible says, in another account, in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, it says that Jesus saw them toiling. What did Jesus do when He put them in the ship? It said He went apart to pray. And while He was there praying, He saw them in the midst of the lake toiling. He saw them in the midst of the lake rowing. He saw them in the midst of the lake in the storm. By the way, He didn't have any binoculars. He didn't get out His infrared, you know, and night vision goggles. They weren't around. No, Jesus Christ knew everything. I want to remind you this morning that when Jesus Christ came to this earth as the God-man, He did not lay aside His deity. He could walk up to a person and knew exactly what they were thinking. He knew everything. And He saw them in the midst of the lake. He saw them. He saw what they were going through. And can I remind you this morning that He sees you? That there's no place on earth that you can go that He's not there? The psalmist says if you go to the heights of the heaven, He's there. If you go to the bottom of the earth, He's there. If you go to the depths of hell, He's there. There's no way of escaping God's eyes, God's knowledge. He saw them toiling. They're trying to survive. They've been toiling all night. And Jesus comes to them there in the watch of the night. And that's from 3 to 6 a.m. Jesus comes to them. Verse 26 says, when they saw Him, they were afraid. Disciples walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. They were afraid. I could just see them thinking, the death angel has come. Right? And they thought their life was about to end. And another account says that they had seen what they had supposed had been a spirit. Of course, we know that it was Jesus. And He said what to them? Verse 27, and straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. He came there to calm the storm. And can I tell you, in your life and in my life, Jesus is there to come and give peace. We preached on that 3 years ago. We preached this same account out of the Gospel of John. Remember, it was one of the seven miracles of John that he wrote down for us, that He described for us. Jesus is there to calm the storm. And He's there to calm the storm in your life. By the way, the voice of Jesus is there. That still small voice that you get, that I hear when the storms come, is so comforting, isn't it? Amen? Help me out this morning. Jesus came to them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I want to remind you this morning, as I've said that statement like 70 times already, I want to remind you this morning, that's what this sermon's all about, it's review. Review is the best teacher. That God is not the author of fear. And when you are afraid, that is not the Lord at all. And so be reminded, when you are afraid, when you are fearing in your life, that should not be there. And go to God. Say, Lord, I know You're not the author of fear, but You're the author of love, joy, and a sound mind. And Lord, help me. Help me with this fear that I'm experiencing. And no matter whether it's a sickness in your life and health problems or financial problems or whatever it may be, God is not the author of fear. And when you are afraid, He is there to cheer you up. If you go to Him, listen to that still small voice. He will cheer you. Peter makes a request. I love Peter. Peter is always the first one to speak and the last one to apologize. Always sticking his foot in his mouth, but yet he's always, every time you see Peter, he's leading the crowd. And Peter says, you know, Lord, if it be You, let me come out on the water. He makes a request of the Lord. Let me come out to You. Let me come out on the water. I don't know about you, but we like to pick on Peter a lot, but that's faith. God, at least he was willing to get out and walk on it. I don't know if he just saw it as an opportunity. All right, just Jesus, He's walking. I wonder if He would let me do that. I don't know. But he had the faith to walk out there. And I can't describe for you enough that in growing up in Sunday school, I had this ideal that these were big, huge ships they were in. These were small, 20 to 25 foot wooden vessels. These were small ships. They were B-hull boats, wooden boats. And we think about it, we think about this being a storm, we think about a few, all the pictures you see, or at least most of the pictures you see in Sunday school, it's got a few waves, you know. The waves are kind of, no, these waves are coming over into the boat. And when Peter steps out in the water's coming up on him. It's like, you know, he's trying to get, it's a storm. He walks out, he comes out, steps out into the water. Jesus answers him and says, come on. Come on. And when Peter was come down to the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Come out of the ship. Jesus said, come on. By the way, we can trust Jesus. And whatever He asks us to do, whatever He tells us to do, whatever He commands us to do, whatever promises He gives, you can trust the Lord Jesus. Every time. He said, come out of the ship. He stepped out of the ship to go to Him. I just want to encourage you this morning that nothing will be done in your life until you get out of the boat. Nothing of spiritual significance will be done unless you get out of the boat. Unless you have the faith to step out. Unless you have the faith to launch out into the deep. I would venture to guess that Peter was pretty surrendered when he stepped out on that water. How many of us are fully surrendered this morning? We've had this theme now for 4 months, but have you made a decision to launch out? Have you made a decision to step out of the boat? What's difference on April 27 than it was January 1st in your life? Hello? Church family, what's different in your life from January 1st April 27th. What's different? Have you stepped out any? Have you even got out ankle deep yet? Are you knee deep? Are you waist deep? Have you stepped out of the boat? Have you done anything that would test your faith? Have you got off the dock of the bay? Are you still at the dock? Watching the tide roll in? Or are you off the dock now? I mean, can you go back in the last 3 or 4 months and say, yes, I see this issue in my life and I'm gonna have victory over that. The Lord's gonna give me victory and I'm gonna step out by faith and do this. And I'm gonna step out by faith and volunteer to teach Sunday school. I'm gonna step out by faith and come for soul winning. I'm gonna step out by faith and give the missions. I'm gonna step out by faith and give the building fund. I'm gonna step out by faith and witness to my neighbor. I'm gonna step out by faith and quit smoking. I'm gonna step out by faith and be a better dad and spend more time with my kids. I'm going to step out. I mean, what have you done this year? Listen, what have we done this year so far that's different from January 1st? Have you launched out? Have you done something different in your life? Listen, God wants us to launch out. He wants us to get away from our comfort zone. I'm talking about spiritually and in other areas of our life. We get so complacent. It's so easy. Life in America is easy for the most part. I'm going to leave here and I'm going to have a good lunch. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be good. I'm not having to guess what I'm going to have, you know, if I'm going to have lunch. It's where. Or did my wife cook roast or not? I'm not sure. It doesn't look like she did. Right? I mean, it's just, man, sometimes We get so content. This is my hobby horse this year. I'm going to be doing this a lot. And every message is going to kind of go whoop, right back to it. We as a church family need to launch out into the deep. We need to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reminding the guys yesterday, somebody was asking the question about keeping the Lord's commandments. Now I'll remind you that Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know, and it's not all about what we can't do, it's what we can do. It's not just the negative commands that He gives us and things we shouldn't do, but it's all the positive things He gave us to do. Man, it's just amazing. Peter stepped out of the boat. Peter got out of his comfort zone. Peter walked out there in the storm to go to Jesus. Peter stepped out, walked out by faith. By the way, if you walk by faith, you'll get closer to Jesus. That's it. The more we live by faith, the more the closer we'll get to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter was not just talk. We see that all in Peter's life. He was not just talk. He didn't just blow smoke. Man, we as Christians sometimes, we like to blow smoke. Right? I've been there, done that. Still do every once in a while. Blow smoke, boy. It's kind of like a little kid tells another little kid, I'll knock you out. The minute that other guy steps forward, you know, he starts running. We like to blow smoke. The children of Israel, the Bible says in Psalm 78, that they worship God with their lips, but not with their heart. We like to blow smoke sometimes. Peter was not a man who blew smoke, but he stepped out. He was a man of action. He was an action figure, and not a doll. That's something from our men's advance. Get out of the boat! Can I just tell you this morning that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost? That the first thing we should do is accept Him as our Savior. As our Savior. Jesus Christ came to die for us, to shed His blood, and then rose again from the dead in order that we might have eternal life. The greatest day of my life is when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior as a little kid. And I'm telling you, it's so wonderful to be a Christian. It's grand to be a Christian. I'm glad today that I know Jesus as my Savior. I'm glad the Holy Spirit abides in me, that I am not alone. And if you're not saved this morning, I pray that you'll step out of the boat. Step out by faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall be saved. Christian, this morning, step out by faith. Step out of the boat. Put your trust in Him. He can be trusted. He can be trusted. Verse 30 says, "And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink." When he saw the wind boisterous and he was afraid. I know this is the area I want to emphasize this morning. Listen, we get our eyes off Jesus, we're going to be afraid. Peter got his eyes off Jesus. He got his eyes on the circumstances. He saw the waves. He saw the wind. He got his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. I am telling you today, as never before, that we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it doesn't take a minute. We were at the men's advance last Friday night, and when I got back to the motel, me and Brother Matt Hill stayed in the same room, and one of the first things I did when I lay down in the bed before I went to sleep was I checked my Fox News app. That's depressing. Why do I keep doing that? I don't know. I just enjoy the news. I check my Star Telegram app. I mean, I like to keep up with things. But I tell you what, if we began to look at the circumstance around us and we began to see, you know, all of us can complain about the government all we want and it can be discouraging to us. And we see the job situations and we get our eyes on people. We get our eyes on our problems. We get our eyes on our finances and we get our eyes on our health maybe or whatever it means. We can become discouraged. We get our eyes on the things going on. It could even be the church or people or maybe me, myself or whatever you're getting your eyes on. Maybe friends that you have trusted. Maybe a pastor you have trusted. Maybe your wife or husband that you have trusted and they have let you down. Can I just tell you, everybody's going to let you down at some point. If you follow me around enough, I'll disappoint you. Your husband or your wife's going to disappoint you at some point. Your friends are going to disappoint you at some point. But we're not supposed to have our eyes on our friends. We're supposed to have our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, He can be trusted. He can be trusted every time. Every time. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Our lives are full of people and trials and storms and on and on and on. But we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Fear comes when we get our eyes off of Him. Peter got his eyes off Jesus and began to look at the storms around him. And I know there's families here today, there are individuals here today who have multiple storms going on in your life. Multiple storms. And if you're not careful, you'll allow your circumstances to get you down. The Bible says we're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Why you allow them to be on top of you? You get on top of them and keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen? By the way, that's not motivational speaking. That's doctrinal truth. I'm taking a doctrine that Jesus says, He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I promise. Acts 17 says He's not very far from any of us. What happened when Peter cried out? He cried out to Jesus, and Jesus heard his cry, and He caught him. The Bible says He caught him right away. What does it say there? And began to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand. He didn't go up to Peter and say, Oh, you're almost neck deep. Oh, nose is almost down. Oh, okay, I'll save you. No, it says immediately He saved him. And I'm telling you, Jesus Christ will save you. He'll save you from the wrath of God placed upon your sins. He'll give you eternal life. But listen, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, He'll save you from the storm. Every time, if you'll cry out to Him. The problem is, we're prideful. The problem is, we've already figured out how we're gonna defeat the storm. You know, if it's a financial problem, we've sat down with our books and we've said, okay, this here, that here, this here, and we figured it all out. We didn't have to cry out. Health problem, the doctors told us this, this, and this. Got it all figured out. We didn't cry out to Him. So many times we rely upon ourselves instead of crying out to God. And so what happens is, eventually God puts us in a spot where we can't take care of it ourselves. Eventually He puts us in a test where there's no way out. Remember when the children of Israel came to the Red Sea? And the Red Sea was in front of them, the cliffs on either side of them, and the Egyptian army behind them. He put them in a predicament that they couldn't get out of themselves. But God made a way where there is no way. And God parted the waters of the Red Sea, and they walked across the on dry ground. And listen to me this morning, that Jesus Christ will make a way where there is no way. If you'll simply go to Him. Paul said, when I'm weak, He is strong. We have to come before Him humbly and cry out to Him for help. And He will help. And He will help every time. Every time he cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, saved him from the storm, caught him up. Our little faith Peter's faith allowed him to step out of the boat. But we're also to live by faith. In other words, once we step out by faith, we're to live by faith. Trusting that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us, as He said. I like this. It says, little faith is better than no faith. Lord, help my unbelief, right? We just come to Him and cry out, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, save me, and He'll save you. Verse 32, He calmed the storm, and when they got back in the ship, the wind ceased. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Verse 32. See, he had to step out first of the boat in order to have the storm to be calmed. If you want the storm to be calmed in your life, if you want the test to be over, and that's in God's timing, by the way, but you're going to have to step out first. Step out of the boat. Jesus Christ brings peace. He brings comfort to a fearful heart. Verse 33, the Bible says they all worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. When we get out of the boat, others will worship Him. When others see what Jesus does for us in our lives, others will worship Him. The testimony of our lives will influence those around us. In other words, as you face a storm and others see you and how you handle the storm, now I'm talking to believers this morning, that will influence them. That will be a testimony to them. That will encourage them. That will help them to ask questions like, why were you able to go through that storm? Why were you able to handle your loved one's death? How did you handle that? Well, let me tell you, I have a Savior who helped me. What an open door to share with somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ. What an open door to help somebody and give them the gospel. Peter stepped out of the boat. Because he trusted the Lord. Because God can be trusted. Every time. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. Peter said, we had toiled all night, Lord, and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the net. Peter trusted him. Do you trust him? Do you trust him this morning? Do you trust him in every situation in your life, or just this compartment or that compartment or this area or that area? I'm here to tell you this morning, you can trust him every time. You can trust him with your finances. You can trust him with your health. You can trust him with your spouse. You can trust him with your children. You can trust him in every area of your life. He can be depended upon. He can be trusted if you'll simply step out of the boat. And when the storms of life are raging, if you'll cry out to him, he will catch you. He will pick you up. Keep your eyes on Jesus. O soul, are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You keep your eyes on Jesus, and the things, the storms of this life will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Let's all stand. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Paul said it this way. He said, press toward the mark. If you're running a race, you shouldn't, I learned in track, you shouldn't look at the runners behind you. You should always keep your eyes on the finish line. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mark. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your love for us. We thank You that You are there for us in the midst of the storm. And God, that You can be trusted. And Lord, I don't know everyone here this morning and what their challenges or their storm may be today. But I pray this morning they would step out of their chair and come forward to this old-fashioned altar. And Lord, that they would lay their burden there, that they would give their burden to You, that they would cry out to You. And Lord, we know that You'll pick them up. Lord, if there's someone here who does not know You as their personal Savior, I pray today they might get saved. They would take courage and step out of their chair and come forward and accept You as their personal Savior. Lord, whatever needs are here this morning, we know that You'll meet them. In Jesus' name.